Welcome to the Christway Connect podcast, creating pathways, connecting people to Christ, to others, to purpose. Welcome to the Christway Connect podcast. My name is Andy, in studio with Jeremy and Deli. Welcome, fellas.
What's up?
Good to be here.
This is a place where we say Jesus is the way. Everything else is a conversation. And we have been having a conversation this month about the corporate discipline of guidance. And I hope you're able to catch last week's episode. Some key points were about the really kind of Western mindset independence, personal everything compared to corporate. And even in the context of, we finished up talking about wisdom and asking for wisdom and how that, then it's so easy, right? It becomes all about me and what did I need?
What do I need
to
do?
Should I buy this to be able to do that? So one of the things that, again, we're looking through the book, Celebration of Discipline by Richard Foster. And one of the things that he brought right off the bat was that guidance is seen through the formation of Christ in us. That, I guess what I would ask is, does the guidance come from Christ being formed in us, or is it Christ formed in us that brings the guidance? Or is it this awareness that we have, like the guidance, you know, I'm guided to have this happen in me? Chicken, egg, together?
Yeah, chicken, egg, right.
Yeah, like which, right? And Christ being formed in us, is that revealing that guidance was already there? I would think so to some degree.
Or that you respond to the guidance that you've responded to the guidance that I've given you, and therefore you have more guidance, and
Christ is formed in you.
Christ is formed in you, and then now there's the unveiling of.
So this is an interesting point of when we say yes to him, and when we listen, and he says yes or no or stop or start or whatever, and we do that. And then Christ is formed in us. I've often told folks the issue here is capacity. So the Spirit is powerful. The question would be, what is in Ephesians 3? Unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, right? So it's not according to his power, but it's according to the power that works in us. And that's an issue of capacity, my own personal capacity for God, which I think then is a byproduct of my faith, and did I say yes, right? You asked me, or did I say, I'll go with whatever you say, right? Letting that be formed in us, by really saying yes, then Christ is formed in us, and then begins to guide and lead, which then builds our strength of connection and guidance and wisdom. And so we say yes to him. How does that play out? Because that's very personal again. How do you think that plays out in a corporate setting, a body of Christ kind of setting? Or is it just a bunch of people that do that and we all get together and then it has this synergy in the church community? What do you think?
I think in our current modern setting, most of the time, it seems like it's you have people that come together who have been formed in Christ, and then maybe they decide to journey together for a while.
It's kind of a decision, isn't it? You don't have to. Nobody's forced to do
Nobody's forced to. It's like
Not anymore.
Yeah, there's no like, oh, you know, you haven't been part of the community for a while. We're gonna go get you and bring you back. You know, the lost sheep that gets dragged back into the fold. That seems to not be
I had a far less spiritual example. I'm thinking, how did you marry her? She was the only one that lived on the island. Like it was, you know, or I don't have to marry the only one on the island. I have a dating app and I can go off the island. I can't actually get off the island, but I can reach out to other, you know, that whole thing. We don't have to be connected.
Well, and we have such, this was written before the World Wide Web existed. And this is a relatively new book in the scope of, you know, the scope of history, but the guidance that we can get from our pockets is so thorough. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's aligns with forming Christ in us, but there is guidance that's well articulated and usually well presented. So it's articulated well, but it's also supported well.
So do you,
even
it,
if it is
it corporate?
It is corporate. It's just not a God-centered corporate.
Hmm. Well, what if you're listening to some preacher in Tampa?
Oh, well.
Or Chicago or right wherever. I mean, clearly just not here. Some preacher
yeah,
there,
not,
right?
There's a Holy Spirit, and he can weave his church together however he wants. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was – this was what I did when I was in college, and I was like, I need guidance. I'm not even sure what I need guidance about. I'm trying to live for Christ. So, Spirit, what do you want to do in me? And how I did that – and I don't even know that I realized that's what was happening at the time, but as I went to the Christian bookstore, I looked through the books, and it's like, Spirit, lead me. What topic do I need guidance on? Do I need to, you know, I just started looking through titles, and I mean, that's almost the...
As the song in the back says, Spirit, lead me.
Yeah, yeah, so, and then I would... I would buy a book and I would read it.
Oceans.
And water across the floor. And you're
it
like,
was pre-Oceans. I could not have played that song, you know? Yeah. So, and maybe I would have benefited from having a community to say, hey, I think you need to read this book right now. And that happens sometimes too, you know, where a pastor friend would say, I think you need to listen to this. And that was actually... friend of mine said, you need to listen to this set of tapes. And that was really a pivotal thing for me, yeah. This set of abiding in Christ, kind of like.
We said some of this before where, we didn't say it this way, but a great book is considered a great book because of content or timing or both.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that can be true with wisdom. Wisdom from the Lord might be a timing issue, a word fitly spoken,
mm-hmm.
apples of gold, right? Mm-hmm. So content and timing, both. Yeah. And maybe that's good to know because sometimes I think we force the timing,
mm-hmm.
right? We want it now. I have an interesting story I haven't thought of in a while. So I was getting out of the Navy in 1993. And I knew I was transitioning out of the Navy. And I didn't, I mean, I went to college. I went to a Navy college, right? So I went to college for the Navy. Basically, if you go to this college to be an electrician, and you're an electrician, right? I went to the college to be in the Navy, and I'm in the Navy. But I was getting out on a medical discharge. Wasn't expecting it. Didn't see it coming. And I'm processing out, you know? And I don't know what to do now. I'm involved in a church. I'm Melinda and I are youth pastors on a team. All of that, you know? But I'm feeling this... tug something else, like I'm not supposed to be here. And I actually told the pastor, and he said, well, that's too bad because you're staying because we need you. Literally, that went down, right? And I'm like, oh, well, okay. I mean, I was taught to, okay, I'll honor whatever you say, you know? And there were two elders, and one elder, it's almost like a biblical story. One elder said, keep the boy, literally. He's like, keep the boy. I was like 23. And the other guy said, if God wants him to go, you definitely don't want to keep him. Right, that was the, and he said, the pastor then said, man, go ahead and go. So I didn't know what we were doing, but I got this green light. Now, here's the interesting
thing. Were you a part of that conversation, or was that?
No, they told me about it.
Okay, later. they told you about it later. Okay, I was like, that'd be really interesting.
Yeah, they told me about it later, yeah. And both of, they told me about it later. So in that whole process, what was amazing to me, it was truly amazing to me, in this whole process, I'm seeking God. Now, where did I go? I lived in Virginia. My pastor, I went to a church, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there was a pastor there and the whole deal. And I worked on their team and all of that. But my college pastor, my father in the gospel, it'd be like calling dad, you know, mm-hmm. lived in Maryland. So during this transitional process, I was calling him. Never answered my call. Never. Like week after day, week after week. No answer. I'm aggravated. I mean, weeks of this, like, I don't know, 7-8 weeks, 2 months. And then one day I'm sitting.
And you're not probably just calling and he's not answering. You're calling and telling him what's going on.
Oh, sure.
Leaving a voicemail message.
I'm getting nothing. I'm getting nothing back, right? And one day I'm up at, I remember this little apartment we had, and I'm thinking, I've got to have something. And there was this prompting to call my childhood pastor. who I mean, we were friends and I talked to Billy, I mean, years and years, you know. So I call him, just a few minutes, we're talking. He didn't tell me what to do, but he just gave me wisdom. Mm-hmm. And I felt this thing click in me. I'm like, I think I know what I'm supposed to do. He didn't tell me what to do. Mm-hmm. Just help me. And so Melinda and I said, we're going to go be with your parents. Like, we're going to go. And Melinda was not happy about that. But I said, I really think this is what we're going to do. Now, that was in the afternoon, 3:30, 4 o'clock. That night, we're having dinner. And old school, phone on the wall, long cord, all that, right? Back then. Phone rings. I get up from dinner, and I answer, hello. He says, this is the prodigal pastor. What have you decided? I was like, are you kidding me? I said, man, I hope nobody's paying you because you haven't been doing your job. You know, I was like all over it, man. Can you believe that's what he said? Well, I was praying today and I felt like you'd made your decision. So I thought I'd call you and ask you what it was. Mm-hmm. What?
Time for you to make the decision on your own.
But what about that? And I said, well, man, I was reaching out to you. He said, this is one that I couldn't influence. He said, I know if I'd have talked to you, I would have influenced it. And I wasn't supposed to influence it. This is one that you were supposed to hammer out on your own. Which I did. But for all that to happen and him to call me that day, what'd you decide? He said, I didn't. Yeah, how did he know that?
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And also reinforcing. Like, okay. And basically, I walked away. I'm like, oh, okay, so this is how this works, right? And sometimes, I hope that's helpful for somebody, that you realize, you know, you can go to people for help. And the Lord may actually say, no, you just need to hammer this out a little bit, right? The growing of it. And I liken it to parenting.
Yeah.
We have the answers most of the time. And we let our kids, we're not trying to hurt them, we're trying to grow them.
But the process is the...
Can be hurtful and weird and confusing. Yeah.
But also the process of them fleshing something out on their own may be exactly what they need. Mm-hmm. And the...
Which may be more of what's needed than the end game.
Yeah.
I think the process of that was more important to me
right.
than the fact of the answer of I found out where we're going to go.
And then some of my experience with the Lord has... then later had been like, okay, you've learned to listen to me and go where I ask. Guess what? I'll go where you go. And it's not this pre-fix. And if you don't make the steps that I take, you're out of my will. That's not how it works.
It's a great point.
We go together.
That's a challenging point for people.
And both are yes. Mm-hmm. You can do go. You feel like you're deciding between those two things. And you want to do it right, and God says,
"I'm with you.
What I'm with whichever you want. You are my son, and whatever kingdom you want to go to, we're going." Yeah.
That's controversial, man. People don't have a shelf for that all the time, right?
Right.
They need to know God's will, and
there's only one.
Who's the one?
There's
for
only
me?
One.
Yeah,
the one will, the one woman, the one whatever, path. The one right. place. That's controversial for folks. Mm-hmm. And I heard a guy years and years ago, I was leading national youth ministry, and he was addressing a bunch of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I was maybe early 30s. And this guy would have been a peer, maybe an older peer of my father-in-law, and a really, really intelligent fellow. His name was JT, when you only went by initials, right? Mm-hmm. JT Pugh was his name. And he lived in West Texas. And he told this story of being a young pastor. And the way I recall the story, it was go to Atlanta or go to West Texas. He didn't know. And he was wrestling with it. He told the whole big story, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think we get it, right? Mm-hmm. Weeks, and he's praying, and he's fasting. And so it was a little situation where he lived like 3 blocks from the church. And as he's walking down midnight one night, leaving the church, locking it up, walking midnight, been praying, seeking the Lord, still praying, walking, he said the Lord spoke to him. And said, essentially, this is how I remember it. He said, just pick one. I'll be with you wherever you go.
Yeah.
When he said that to me, if anybody else, this guy was a mountain of a spiritual man. And if anybody else had said that, I would like, you're wrong. But this guy weighed 1,000 pounds. Like, he was just so strong and so solid. And godly solid, you know,
mm-hmm.
just an elder statesman, right? And you just knew that. That's why he was addressing all these young guys. There was a room full of 50, 60 young preachers, you know. And that's what he said. I'll bless you wherever you go. That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
The Spirit is with you. Like, it doesn't have to be this major deal, but we love it to be a major deal. It feels better when it's a major deal.
Yeah.
So how do you unpack that for somebody? They're like, what do you mean he's going to bless me wherever I go? That's what the guy said. And I mean, I took it to heart immediately.
Well,
I trusted it.
Yeah, it's because all good things come from him and you're not leaving him. So, yeah, I don't know that I know how to unpack it. I just know that.
Is it hard for you? Has it ever been hard for you to do? Was there a moment where you like were revelation? You're like, oh, I can do this. What?
Yeah, I don't know that I remember a specific time, but I definitely remember the sense that you are resting, being in my will on
what a great word
on making. The choice between two things that in your mind were huge. But it's like grilled chicken or fried chicken. Am I your God? Are you in relationship with me?
Well, you said rest. And resting in that. That's beautiful, man.
And so there was really a sense of a peace associated. I mean, huge peace
associated with that. That's exactly right. What's the opposite of rest?
Yeah. Because then it's like, oh, I just need to maintain relationship with you, not connecting the dots that I think you want me to connect.
Yeah.
And that was just very reassuring because now I'm enjoying relationship. That was just kind of really pivotal. I don't remember the situation because it doesn't seem significant. And I think a lot of those times that we're like, oh, which one?
Isn't that
which
amazing?
Which one does God want me
that
to do?
That was such a big deal.
It seems such a big deal.
Of which one like, to decide, and now you don't even remember.
Yeah, and now it's like.
But you remember the process.
And and I remember the sense of, I can just enjoy relationship with him and not feel like I'm always on the edge of stepping out of his will. And that was just,
so
that was just huge.
We would be remiss to not go to that place where the fear of stepping out of his will, as if he is standing there, ready, crosshairs on our back.
Right. You got out of line.
Whop. Right. Hammer. Yeah. Right. Here comes the hammer.
I do want to throw in a wrench into all of this. To I want to talk about. I don't know. I think of. Crud. Who was on the roof? I always say this. Who was on the roof? Yeah, Peter.
Santa?
No, not Santa. Peter's on the roof, you know, and he's...
At Acts 10.
Yeah, yep. He's at Acts 10. Or Cornelius, right? Talking about Cornelius, going to Cornelius. Mm-hmm. And
yep, that's
and
him.
That's all of that. Like, okay, I've been in God's will. I've been resting in his will because this is what we've been doing. And this is... But this seems... So I'm thinking corporately. You know, I'm going corporate. This seems out of his will, you know, like because I'm feeling pulled towards this. I'm listening to the Spirit. And then I'm looking in the Foster's book, and he's talking about, again, these are big things. I'm thinking of the church is making a decision or this body of believers is making this decision. He's talking about slavery, you know, like talking about, well, should we've been doing this. This is what we've been listening to the Lord and doing all this, but we still have slaves or whatever. And just how this unity of spirit, listening, like this right path, which seems right in God's will, but then also this other path is like in discerning those two things and how it can cause restlessness and, you know, like this uneasiness. Even though you're having these two decisions. Yep. I don't know, that's also I'm thinking of that too. I think of, oh, well, are we going to baptize in Jesus' name or not Jesus? You know, like, or whatever that is, that decision of corporately that can be troublesome and restless and difficult
to
discern.
One of the things with Peter on the rooftop, he's waiting for lunch. He's up there praying. He has a vision. Mm-hmm. The blanket is dropped down, opened up, and it's all these unclean animals.
Yeah.
Who's the one that told him, don't eat the unclean animals?
God told her.
God told them.
Yeah.
And now he's like, kill and eat. And I think this is so funny. I wish I could have been there because I could hear him go, "Get behind me, Satan."
Yeah.
You know, right? Like, no, I've never done it and I shall not. And he's feeling so victorious. Huh? Mm-hmm. And then the Lord says, oh, and by the way, if I say it's clean, it's clean. Mm-hmm. So kill and eat. Visual for you're about to go be unclean. He was about to be ceremonially unclean, mm-hmm. going into a Gentile's house.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was right on the doorstep, literally doorstep of that. As he's waiting there, there's a knock.
Yeah.
He was told. So I have always heard, here's going to be one of the more controversial things I've said in the last 11 months. I have always heard that the spoken word of God mm-hmm. will never contradict the written word of God. It's even referenced in here. This, yep. You can trust it. If you get a spiritual word from God, prompting, tug, mm-hmm. whatever your language is, you get that. You better bank it against the scripture mm-hmm.
right.
because God's spoken word will never contradict God's written word. So I will say, okay, I'll give you that. But you're not going to always know mm-hmm. because God's written word said, don't kill and eat.
Don't kill me, yeah.
And God's mm-hmm. spoken word said, kill and eat.
Yeah.
So to any of us in that scenario, I think it's fair to say we're at an impasse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, huh. I've heard, I mean, oh my goodness, the hundreds of sermons that I've heard someone say, I got booked for that.
Yeah.
They'd make some point, I got booked for that.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. Right. You've got Bible mm-hmm. for, you know, don't eat lobster.
Yeah.
Right. And yet he's like, kill and eat, mm-hmm. and wanting him to go into this. Now, here's the deal. When you look at Acts 15, so that's Acts 10, Cornelius, mm-hmm. Acts 15 is that council, and everything's up for grabs, and they're all talking about it. And that's when Peter gets up and makes his statement. You know, we couldn't do it either, and all these things.
Yeah.
And he gave them the Holy Spirit just like he did us and all that. And James identifies that, you know, it seems good. Like, here's what I think. Here's what's going on. And when you read the scripture, the promise to Abraham is that every family would be blessed. Every family on earth would be blessed. Not every Jewish family.
Mm-hmm.
Every family. Families in North Korea and Mongolia and, you know, Quebec, right? Every family. Mm-hmm. They didn't see it that way. So I will give you that God's promise to Abraham was a universal promise.
Mm-hmm.
Acts chapter 2, as many as the Lord shall call, right? I mean, mm-hmm. your kids and their kids and everything else, yeah. generations. But we don't always read it that way.
Yeah.
And so I would be okay to say that God's spoken word will, and I even am having trouble enunciating it right now because I don't know if I actually believe it. Will not contradict his written word.
Yeah.
But I am 1,000% sure that we're yeah. not going to always know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to seem so contradictory
yeah.
to us. And that is,
that's
the moment where God's guidance, even corporately,
mm-hmm.
God's guidance is, am I holding on to my doctrines?
Yeah.
Or am I recognizing the relationship? Am I recognizing the presence of the Lord mm-hmm. in space?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is a little dicey.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, call it what it is, it's a little dicey.
Yeah.
Like, I sense you here, you're working here, but everything about me says you're not supposed to be working here.
Mm-hmm.
This is not where we're supposed to go, but I sense your presence here.
Yeah. Well, they killed Jesus, right? Because oh, they couldn't have been, God wouldn't have been working that way.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have been
he would have triumphed.
Ministering to those people in that way on the Sabbath. He doesn't do that.
Yeah.
And
that's
where, I mean, it does. It just gets, that's why this chapter, I think, it gets so dicey. Right.
Oh, yeah.
Because why do two people who love the Lord come to two different places mm-hmm. and we just don't have the vision that God has to be able to back up and say, because I needed him to go separate ways.
Yes and yes.
Yeah. Yes and yes. You know, and that just creates, it just creates tension, and it just right now it creates tension in me in that I want a system that I can understand, and I am woefully ill-equipped to understand the grace and the enormity of God and his plan and all of that. Yeah. So So I just want to be in a relationship with him and in that space of, yes, but I remember the feeling of you love me and are called according to my purposes. Therefore, maintain that, and you're not going to walk outside my will.
Yeah.
Even if, you know, whichever weird direction you think you might go, you stay in love with me.
Yeah. This I want to read this little section here, and if you got some, it says, so people gathered in Christ's name, believing that his will be fleshed out in their midst. They do not seek compromise, but God-given consensus. And then they go on talking about there was difference in opinions in this group, and they're talking about a business session, and there's a ton of people, there's 200 people in here. And one guy says, I don't feel right about this course of action, but I hope the rest of you will love me enough to labor with me until I have the same sense of God's leading as the rest of you do, or until God shows us another way. And I thought that was super, because then it continued on to Ephesians 4:3, which is this guy is saying, I appreciate the way that Christians are able to maintain the unity through the bond of peace. And I think about that, and the fact that that's so healthy, you know, I mean, to have I'm thinking in corporate mindset, like having this corporate mindset of, man, we're at this pass, right? We're at this this struggle of, well, it says not to eat, you know, and those are unclean, but let's struggle through this, right? That's what they were doing in Acts, right? They were struggling through this with love and grace and, you know, having the scriptures right there and also trying to be aligned with his spirit and how all of these things are on the table. So let's, again, walk and journey together through this and fast and pray and seek his guidance through it all. Because, again, you know, there's are those little things of, I'm going to pick up the trash as I'm walking through. Yeah. But then there are these big things of, well, should we have those people at our church? Should I go to this wedding? Should I, you know, whatever these questions are, there are real questions right now, right? Mm-hmm. These are real questions. And so, I don't know. I think about that when I'm reading this, like, man, because I need guidance.
Right.
So.
I think there's a passage, it's in Ephesians 4, and it talks about coming into a unity of the faith. It's actually the apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastors, teachers, that whole thing to equip people for works of service, to, you know, build up the body of Christ, right? Until we reach
full unity.
This unity of faith. Maturity, right? And knowledge of the Son of God and maturity and all of that. Mm-hmm. And I was involved in an organization years ago, and it was founded in the 50s or the 40s or something like that. It was a merger. It had been larger than that, but then merged in the 50s. And their statement that in the articles of faith, that the initial statement was that they may pursue unity of spirit until we all come into unity of faith. Mm-hmm. I thought that was so powerful. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't all agree. Mm-hmm. We come from different traditions, and this was actually the merging of a couple organizations. So we don't agree on all that. And it wasn't even that thing of, you know, agree on the essentials and, you know, disagree, whatever that phrasing, we're most of us familiar with whatever that is. It was different. It was like, you know what? The Spirit of God has brought us together and we agree on that.
That, yeah.
And now let's continue to be open to that as a community until we come into a unity of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is so easy to say here.
Yeah.
And then we pray and we dismiss, right? We go, yeah. But not always so easy. Yeah. So I'm gonna pray as we close.
Yeah.
Lord, we understand the challenges of this, even the challenges of hearing your voice for some of us. We ask you to help us.
Mm-hmm.
Be our helper. And help us, first of all, trust your love for us, so that we don't have to be timid or intrepid about a misstep or some word misspoken or some direction that's just off course. But we can trust your love for us, that as a caring, loving Father, you will guide us. You will draw us back in. You care for us that way. We're like kids, toddlers in a playground, and you're just right there with your arms around us. So help us trust that first. Mm-hmm. And then allow us to follow your Spirit, recognizing our differences, recognizing the vastness and the diversity of the body of Christ. As you bring us all together, we want to be under the umbrella of your name and bring you glory. So we pray that in your name, Jesus. Trusting, mm-hmm. asking, and believing in the moment, believing for it. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. That's a, like mm-hmm. a moment to exhale, right? Like,
yeah. Right. Man, are you sweating? I'm sweating. No.
I'm definitely more tired after this topic than all the others.
All the other, yeah.
Oh, man. Well, hey, everybody. Yeah. Thanks, fellas. Thanks for joining us today. Yeah. Appreciate you finding it valuable to spend time with us. Mm-hmm. And conversation continues, so we'll look forward to joining you again next week. Take care. Mm-hmm.